Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, last Sunday we talked about the not-so-famous verse, John 3:14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This concept of lifting up indicates Jesus' crucifixion, as well as his rising from the tomb and his ascension. Today, Jesus repeats those words. When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. The evangelist adds, he said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. And so this statement in today's gospel illustrates the true meaning of what Jesus meant in his talk with Nicodemus in last week's gospel, last week's sermon. Today's gospel begins with some Greeks. You wonder, who are these Greeks? Are they men wearing togas? Do they smell like garlic and gyros and souvlaki and tzatziki and spanakopita? Some Greeks. Well, Greeks has a way of meaning Gentiles in the Bible. The Apostle Paul can use those terms interchangeably, Greek, Gentile, Gentile, Greek. Greek was the language of the Mediterranean world, the international language, the dominant language of trade. Greek was the language of the Mediterranean world, the international language, the way English is the international language in our own time. It's not just the British who use English today. So these Greeks were foreigners in the land of Jesus, probably Gentile or Gentile converts to Judaism, and they seek out Philip. Now, of the 12 followers of Jesus, Philip has a Greek name. And so does Andrew. Do you know what Andrew means in Greek? Manly. It means manly. Do you know what Philip means in Greek? It means horse lover. Someone who loves horses. I don't know if I'd rather be Andrew or Philip, but with a name like Andrew, manly, I'd say your chances of getting a date on a Saturday night might be better. Philip and Andrew are Greek names. Names like Simon, John, Judas, Jesus, Bartholomew, Levi, those are Hebrew names. So the Greeks find Philip, and Andrew and Philip take that request to Jesus. Andrew and Philip have perhaps a foot in two different cultures. What a gift that is to the gospel of Christ. The request of the Greeks is, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Or in the King James Version, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." Verse 21. In my last congregation, Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Baton Rouge, on the surface of the pulpit, facing the preacher, was a brass plaque engraved with the words, "We would see Jesus." The pulpit, that pulpit was not the only pulpit in the world with those words. It's a reminder to the preacher that his or her audience is seeking Jesus. And that, like Andrew and Peter, we have to bring the audience to Jesus, perhaps across a different language, a different culture, and a different time. "Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. It's a striking phrase. I want to see Jesus. I want to meet Jesus. I want to know Jesus. These so-called Greeks, the foreigners, I want to see Jesus. On one level, the gospel reading today is telling us, if you want to see Jesus, look to the cross. Some Greeks say that they wish to see Jesus. Jesus replies by saying that he is going to be lifted up, that unless a grain dies in the earth, nothing will grow. At the opening of John's gospel, the evangelist tells us, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. You can't see God, but you can know him in Jesus. And Jesus now says that if you want to see him, you will see him lifted up on the cross, because that is the place to know God. As I say every week, we are in Lent, the season of preparation for Holy Week. So these lessons from Scripture are selected to orient us toward the events of Holy Week. Holy Week begins next Sunday, Palm Sunday. However, today's reading from John already takes place in Holy Week. It takes place after Palm Sunday, or maybe on Palm Sunday, after Jesus has entered Jerusalem. And that explains the urgency in Jesus' words. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. This hour, this hour. The Last Supper and the arrest of Jesus are imminent. That urgency is one reason that you and I encounter these words on the last Sunday before Palm Sunday. Now is the judgment of this world. It's interesting and important that in the fourth gospel, the judgment day is not in the future. Judgment day takes place when we see Jesus, when he encounters us. That is the hour of judgment. What happened on Palm Sunday in this gospel is in the past. And in the verse right before today's gospel, verse 19, the Pharisees throw up their hands in frustration after Jesus has done his Palm Sunday thing. They throw up their hands in frustration with these exact words. Look, the world has gone after him. Words of disgust. Look, the world has gone after him. We can't do a thing. That's what they say on Palm Sunday. So on Palm Sunday, the Pharisees are expressing their frustration that Jesus is drawing the world to himself. And immediately, verse 20, today's gospel reading, some Greeks try to get through the crowds in order to see Jesus. Like I said, Greek doesn't mean necessarily toga-wearing philosophers like Socrates. It means the broader, bigger world. When Jesus says today, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself, that is already beginning to happen. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Now it is beginning to happen. The Greeks, the foreigners, want to see Jesus. He is drawing all people to himself. When he dies on the cross, Nicodemus, who came to him in John chapter 3 in the middle of the night, Nicodemus will come to the cross and the tomb in broad daylight. Jesus drawing all people to himself, the foreigner and the Pharisee. You know, when you fly on an airplane, two things happen to get ready for arrival: the initial descent and the final descent. Are you familiar with those two steps? Maybe I've spent If you're as miserable as I have and you spend that much time sitting in an airplane seat, you know about this because you're looking at your watch. Initial descent and the final descent. Way before you land, the pilot begins the initial descent. I have flown into Tucson many times from Texas. Many, many times from Texas, from Houston and from Dallas, cities on the other side of the state. If it's American, it's Dallas. If it's United, it's Houston. When the plane passes over El Paso, the pilot comes on and announces our initial descent. That's the polite message, where the pilot gives us the ETA and tells us about the weather. That starts at El Paso, while we are still over Texas. Because as I'm fond of saying, America is a big country and most of it is in Texas. Flying over Texas for 2 hours. Initial descent, that starts at El Paso, the far end of Texas, but still Texas. And the plane slowly loses altitude all across Las Cruces, Deming, Lordsburg, and then somewhere over Arizona around the Chiricahuas, if you've got a window seat, the pilot comes back on and announces the final descent. The plane is going to drop down out of the sky at a steep angle and land. That's when the chimes go off on the airliner and the flight attendants pick up the trash. Tray tables must be put away. Seats must be upright. Electronics must be turned off. Seat belts must be fastened. In the church, our journey, our destination, ends at Easter, at Good Friday, Maundy, Thursday, and Easter. We reach our destination. Like the Greeks in today's gospel, that is our destination, and we see Jesus. We see the will of the Father. On Ash Wednesday, when Lent began, we recited Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." We began our initial descent. Lent is the initial descent toward Good Friday and Easter. "Create in me a clean heart." We repeated that same psalm this morning after hearing Jeremiah's message about God's transforming our hearts, of making his covenant internally real with us. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." With the arrival of Palm Sunday, we begin our final descent. Tray tables up, seats locked, seats upright position, seat belts fastened. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Amen."